Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about spirit. I'd like to talk about it in the general sense, whether we talk about the Holy Spirit, evil spirits, your spirit, or any spirit. There are many spirits in the world, and the spirit world is something that is foreign to us because we are flesh and blood beings. God created us this way. However, His world is the world of the spirit realm. God is a spirit. The Bible clearly tells us this. But each man, even though he is flesh and blood, also has a spirit. In fact, we are made up of a three-part system, just as God is made up of a three-part system of body, soul, and spirit. Now, we're all very familiar with the body aspect of our three-part existence because the body, just as the rest of our earthly environment, is physical. So that's what we usually see, and that's what we usually hear. When people speak or act, we watch them and listen and see and hear what they are doing or talking about. We're a flesh and blood oriented people. God has made us that way. But God is a spirit, and mankind has been called to become a spirit being also. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll read them. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man becomes born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man becomes born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.'" Now, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews and should have been able to understand some of these concepts, but he didn't. The concept of being born again in spirit is foreign to a person who is flesh and blood. The flesh and blood person thinks of being born again in the same way he was born the first time, from his mother's womb. But if you become born of the Spirit instead of being just born of flesh, then you end up being something different than what you were when you were first born of the flesh. When you're born of the Spirit, you are born a spirit being. If you're born of the flesh, then you're just a man. You are flesh. There's a big difference in being born of the Spirit and being born of the flesh. Now, being born of the Spirit requires two things. The first thing is to confess the Word of God as true, and the second thing is to believe it in your heart and experience a true change of heart. There are those in this world who attempt to attain salvation just by being born of water, without entering into God's covenant with a true heart. They say they believe, and they may even be baptized, but they never have a heart for God. They go through the motions, but their spirit is never moved toward the righteousness of God. But Jesus made it very clear that just hearing the word is not the same as loving it, And just being baptized in water is not the same thing as entering into the spirit of the endeavor. Just repeating a few words of the sinner's prayer without having a true heart which yearns for the things of God is not really the same thing as being born again in spirit. If you're really going to be saved, your spirit has to be affected. If you're really saved, you're going to enter into the worship of God not just by ritual, but with a heart that is inspired, with a heart that is spirited. It has to be a spiritual experience of the heart as well as an outward sign of the body. Being baptized just by water is not enough. You've got to be moved by the Spirit of God, and it has to make a difference in your heart. Now, here's another important thing. There are two witnesses which give testimony that God is true. These two witnesses, as we see in Zechariah 4:14, stand before the God of all the earth. We can also read of this same thing in Revelation chapter 11. These two witnesses, these two testimonies, testify of God, not only in truth, but in deed, in works. We know that we not only worship God by our word, but we also worship God by our deeds, our actions. Those who are true Christians have works that follow them. We are known as Christians not just by our word, but by what we do, by our works. True Christians apply the word of God to their lives, and their works follow them. People not only hear our words, but they see our actions. They can see the results of what our lips have claimed. Now, here's something important. It is that spirit within you which moves you to either act or speak. Did you catch what I said? Here, let me say it again. It is that spirit within you which moves you to either act or speak. You see, when you speak or act, it is the spirit within you that moves you to do it. You have thoughts, beliefs, and convictions down inside of you, down in your soul. But it is your body that acts out these thoughts, and it is your body that speaks the words that describe your thoughts. Your body is the part of you that manifests your thoughts. It shows outwardly to other humans what is down deep inside of you. But it is the spirit within you that moves your body to speak or act. But the important thing is that whatever spirit is within you can only move your body to act or speak according to what is in your heart. Just as the Holy Spirit will not cause you to act righteously if it finds that you entertain evil in your heart, neither will an evil spirit be able to cause you to act unrighteously if your heart only contains thoughts of righteousness. What is in your heart will determine what your body does, and therefore what is in your heart is what people will see and hear. But it is the spirit within you that actually moves your body in one way or another. Now, think about this. Many people profess to know Jesus Christ. But some of those who profess Jesus Christ don't really love him, but they actually love Satan. And the reason I say this is that they don't really follow after the heavenly things of God, but they seek after the earthly things that Satan wants them to have. They only profess to know Christ, but in reality, they know Satan much better. Their spirit is not moved by the heavenly things of God, but they certainly do get inspiration when it comes to the delights of this world. And because they go after those things of this flesh and blood world, because they love those things which stimulate the flesh, they are known to be lovers of the things of Satan rather than lovers of God. You see, Every man is born as a flesh and blood human, but not every man is born again in spirit, even when they claim to be by speaking it or by being baptized. When we see someone who claims to be a follower of Christ, but has no spirit for it, has no real emotion in their heart for it, we call these people false Christians. We refer to them as just lip servers, meaning they claim to be Christians with their lips, but their actions don't say the same thing. These are people who say they accept the Word of God, yet they plainly have no love for God's Word. They profess Christ with their mouths, but their hearts are far from Him. They do not apply the Word of God in spirit, but just live by the letter of the law. They observe religion in a legalistic way, but have no love for living it from the heart. And if they have no love for the heavenly things of God, then the Spirit within them will move them to do things that are not godly. Every person has a spirit. Every person responds to the Spirit within them in one form or another. If that spirit within them is evil, they will respond in an evil manner. If that spirit within them is a good spirit, they will respond in a good manner. If a person allows the Word of God to be birthed in their heart and loves the Word, then the Holy Spirit will also come and dwell within them. And if the Holy Spirit abides in a person, that person's spirit will be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, and the works, the deeds, the actions that this man does will be holy. Now, every person is moved by spirits. And when the Holy Spirit abides in your heart, He will move you to actions of righteousness. But because each one of us are also still locked in these bodies of flesh, the spirits of evil will also move us to actions of unrighteousness. And the only way we can escape the deeds of unrighteousness in the flesh is by filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God. You see, it is the Word of God which sets us free from the sin and shame of sin. By filling our hearts with the Word of God, our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions change for the better. And as our hearts become more aligned with the Word of God, the evil spirits will find less with which to control our actions. The evil spirits will have a difficult time getting a firm enough foothold on our thoughts, and they won't be able to create very much chaos through our bodies. And this is an interesting concept, and for those who comprehend the spiritual implication of this, the process of spirits working through a person can be seen. Down deep inside of you, in the very depths of your soul, you have convictions. You have beliefs which control what you feel and which control how you will act and speak. It is the soul of a man which controls the spirit, but it is the spirit of man which controls the body. Actually, it works like this. Down deep in your hidden self, in your soul, in your mind, you have convictions and beliefs of what is right and what is wrong. Your spirit is designed by God to search your inner self in order to find out what your convictions and beliefs are. This concept is spelled out clearly for us in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." You see, God's Spirit searches the deep things of God. And then, whatever the Holy Spirit finds, He reveals those things to us. At least, they are revealed to us if we are open to receiving God's Word. And this concept of how God's Holy Spirit communes with God and then reveals the heart of God is the same concept which works in humans. We have a spirit which searches out the deep things from our own hidden man, from our own hearts, and brings them into the open. And it brings these things into the open by moving our bodies to act and speak according to what was found in our heart. It is the body which demonstrates what is in our hearts, but it is the spirit within us which first searches our hearts and then moves our body to act and speak accordingly. Now, the spirit within us moving our body is a concept which we call being spirited or inspired. Notice that the word inspire is formed by the two words in and spirit. To be in spirit is to be inspired. When we are inspired, we are moved by the spirit within us to words or actions according to what our spirit found in our thoughts. What is in our heart, those things which are our deep hidden thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, are revealed by our spirit through our body. Our spirit searches those deep hidden thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, and then takes those things and accordingly moves our body to speech and action. Whatever spirit you have within you is a direct result of what is in your heart. Whatever spirit is within you only resides in you if it can find thoughts, beliefs, and convictions which line up with that spirit. If there is only righteous thoughts, beliefs, and convictions in your heart, then the only spirit that can move you with these thoughts, beliefs, and convictions is the Holy Spirit. However, if an evil spirit can find any unrighteous thoughts, beliefs, and convictions in your heart, then that evil spirit can move your body to act and speak evil things accordingly. If your heart truly loves the things of God, then the spirit within you will be that good spirit which is in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. However, if your heart is wicked, then the spirit within you will find wickedness, and it will be a wicked spirit which moves your body to speak and act wickedly. Now, what this all means is that if you are truly born again in spirit, then you will have come into the realm of God through the truth of His Word. And because you have come into the realm of God, you will have come into the realm of truth. God's Word is truth. Therefore, the only spirit that can abide in you is the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit of God is completely in tune with the truth of God, the Word of God. It is important to know that whatever spirit is moving you, it is directly in relation to what that spirit can find in your heart. If your heart is full of the truth of God, then your spirit will respond in righteousness, for the Word of God is righteousness. Your spirit will move your body to demonstrate works of righteousness and works of love because the Word of God is in your heart. Whatever is found in your heart will be that which directs your spirit. Any spirit, whether it is a good spirit or an evil spirit, which seeks to have power over your body, will only be able to have this power over your flesh if it finds beliefs and convictions in your inner person that allows it to work through you. But you know, many people think they can have a love for wickedness in their hearts, but that they can still manage to work works of righteousness on the outside. But it is impossible for your spirit to find wickedness on the inside and still show true works of righteousness on the outside. Yes, you can pretend to be righteous on the outside without truly being righteous in your heart, but then that spirit is actually only working evil, for it is only acting deceptively according to your deceptive heart, by trying to deceive those around you into believing that you are actually righteous. Even though your body may present a false image of righteousness, your spirit is still evil, for it is a deceiving spirit, because your heart is deceptive, and you cannot change your heart by falsehood. Although you can pretend on the outside, your heart cannot pretend. You can cause your flesh to pretend, but your heart can never pretend. You are what you are, and you cannot change that except by changing what you believe. It is only the outward flesh and blood part of yourself which can be deceptive. Your heart is not seen by human eyes. It is your physical body that is seen by others. But your spirit will reveal what is in your heart. This concept is referred to in Proverbs 20:27. It says in this verse of Scripture that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord and searches all the inward parts of man. It means that the spirit of man reveals the heart of a man, just as the Holy Spirit of God reveals the deep hidden things of God. The body may deceive others by its actions and words, but the spirit can only move the body according to what it finds in the heart of man. And if nothing but the lies of Satan are found in the heart, then the outside of man will demonstrate the evilness of it. Satan lies, twisting the truth of God, and creates an evil heart in man through this process. But God's truth wins out if the heart of man is open to it. The truth of God can come in and change a heart. If the seed of God's word is planted in a pure heart, then that seed will sprout and grow. If the word of God which has been planted in a man's heart is allowed to grow, then that man's spirit, when it searches the deep hidden things of the man, will find the word of God and will move the body to act and speak righteousness. However, if the spirit within the man finds lies and deception, it can only move his body to act and speak unrighteously. The beliefs and convictions of a man will be established either by truth or the lie, or by a combination of truth and lies. And whatever is found in that man's heart, whether it is the pure knowledge of God or the corrupted knowledge of Satan, that spirit will move that man's body accordingly. A spirit can only move the body by what it finds in the heart of man. And if the beliefs and convictions of the man are formed by Satan's doctrine, if the man continues to embrace evilness instead of the righteousness of God's word, then the only spirit that will be empowered to move the body will be an evil spirit. Even the Holy Spirit will not be empowered to move your body to speak and act if it finds that you have not embraced the word of God in your heart. Your heart is the authority that allows or disallows any spirit within you to work.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Because your spirit will move your body according to what it finds in your heart, then it is ultimately important to make certain that your heart is filled with the word of God. In fact, it comes down to one simple equation. What goes into your heart through your eyes and ears will determine what comes out through your words and actions. I'm sure you've heard the saying, "You are what you eat." In the same sense, what you are down deep inside of you is what you feed yourself. If you feed yourself the Word of God and you concentrate on the heavenly things of God, then when the Holy Spirit, which abides in you, searches your heart, it will find these things and will produce words and actions through your body which glorify God. However, if you feed yourself with the things of this world and focus your attention on the desires of the flesh, then when evil spirits search your heart, they will find these things and will move your body to act and speak in evil ways. what you allow into your heart through your eyes and ears will affect your heart, and whatever your heart responds to will be shown openly to the world around you. If you have evil in your heart, you will demonstrate evil in your actions and words. But if you have God in your heart, you will demonstrate righteousness in your actions and words. And yes, you may be able to fool some people for a long time, but eventually you will stand before God, and He will not be fooled. What you put down inside of you will eventually be revealed, and Satan well knows that what he can get inside of you will be manifested in your actions and words. And what is manifested in your actions and words will determine what is written in the book of life. If you want to go to heaven, then you will have to fill your heart with heaven now, while you're still here on this earth. But if you fill your heart with the things of this earth now, then heaven will not be yours in the future.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 60, How Does a Spirit Work in You? As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.